appreciate Josh and his father and his family and the blessing they are to our church. And I, you know, all that they have done in praying and helping and all that stuff. And we as a church just appreciate you, Josh. Thank you for your stance on the things that you stand for with the gospel's sake. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. He comes from a very small church. I don't know. Maybe you know what it is. Family Worship Center. It's somewhere in Baton Rouge there. But when you see Brother Swaggart and Sister Francis, I know they really don't know who we are. But we support them financially and praying. Tell them we said thank you. Thank you again for all that they've done for the gospel's sake. Thank you. Without further ado, though, I want to introduce to you a great man, a man that loves the Lord with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we certainly do appreciate him, Brother Josh Rosenstern. Amen.
Thank you so much, Pastor. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, the Spirit of God being in this place is the greatest blessing that we can have. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. So we want to always walk very cautiously and very carefully in the presence of God. We don't want to miss what the Lord wants to do. This is not just about coming together to see me, most certainly. It's not about that. It's about receiving from him. Amen. We want everything that he has for us. And so we thank the Lord for his presence. I thank you for being here this morning, Pastor. Thank you for having me. It's my honor and my privilege to join you down here in Gaydon, Louisiana. And I drove in, this just came over this morning from Baton Rouge, and I drove by that church on the way out of town. Family Worship Center. I said, see y'all later. I got somewhere else to go. So I was very glad to say that, but I'll be back there sooner than later. You know how it goes. But as you're opening your Bibles this morning to the great book of Proverbs, chapter 18, please, Proverbs chapter 18, I just want to thank you personally for your prayers and for your support as it regards the Sunlight Broadcasting Network. Those of you that you tune in faithfully, you support us, as Pastor mentioned, with not just financially, but also with your prayers. Thank you. And I make it a point to say this. There are times that quite literally, I can feel the prayers of people for me, for us. Amen. You can feel it and you can know it. So if the Lord ever brings me to your mind, stop and pray. And I say that everywhere I go, but I'm serious. Please, take a moment. Pray for us. We need it. We need the help of God. We need your prayers and your intercession. Amen? So thank you for that. And we're just excited to see what God is doing. Now, we're believing him for what he's going to do. But we don't want to discount what he is now doing. Well, Brother Josh, what is the Lord doing? Well, he's saving souls. He's filling believers and baptizing believers with the Holy Spirit. He's healing sick bodies. He's still God. He's still on the throne. He doesn't change. Those in Washington may change, but God does not change. Amen? Hallelujah. I didn't come to preach on that, but that'll preach. Praise God. Hallelujah. He said, I am the Lord, and I change not. Jesus Christ the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, Proverbs chapter 18, and just as we begin to read the scripture, my wife and my family send their hellos and their love. Now, Noah, my younger son, he's been playing soccer. Now, not competitive, but he's been, and thank the Lord, because he's not quite that good. It's more entertainment than anything else at these games. But he has his very last round of soccer today, and they have a big celebration afterwards, and he really, really, really wanted to be there. And so that's why they're not with me today. Otherwise, we would have the rest of the family. But I think y'all understand this is a big deal. He's seven. He's 7 years old, so he's a big boy. And his brother was even willing to go and to be a part of it, which is an absolute miracle. Because normally Jonah throws the biggest fit that there is. I don't want to go. You know how that goes. But they're doing soccer this afternoon, and so But Pastor said beforehand, well, we could have looked at doing something. I hate to have you miss. I'm like, no. I want to be here. Soccer games are soccer games. And I love my son, but there's nothing more important than being here in church. Amen? Praise God. All right. So they send their hello, and Dad as well. And we thank y'all so much just for your love and for your prayers. But let's read now the scripture. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe. Hallelujah. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs to it and is safe. Verse 11 says, the rich man's wealth is his strong city and is a high wall in his own conceit. And this morning, we're going to draw our title for this message directly from the scripture. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bow your heads, please. Heavenly Father, we love you this morning. Lord, we thank you for your grace, for your mercy. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for the precious Holy Spirit who is in our midst. And we ask, Lord, that you would continue to move, that you would anoint us, that you would help us, that you would give us your grace and your mercy today, that every need would be met, that your people would not leave here the same as they came in, but that we would leave refreshed, renewed, and changed in the name of Jesus, that we won't leave here like we came, in Jesus' name. And we ask it and say it in that precious name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Well, this morning I have no other plans than to be just absolutely real with you. And here's what I mean by that. A lot of times when we'll get emails, we'll get messages from folks, you know, they tune into the programming, and of course we appreciate that very much, but I've noticed something, and it's that during these difficult times, and when I look at difficult times, the last two, almost 3 years have been times like none other. I mean, I've talked to folks that are much, much older than me, and even little kids, and they're like, what has been going on these last several years? It's been a time like none other. But during this time, as there's been great difficulty in this country and around the world, there's been a lot of questions, a lot of uncertainty, it seems, in the world. It's funny because folks think, I guess, that those in ministry, those that are standing behind the pulpit, are immune to problems. Now, I'm glad to hear some no's coming up today, but apparently that's not the consensus amongst the Christian community. And it might be because preachers and pastors have tried to hold themselves, you know, back and hold themselves up to say, you know, they don't share any of their personal problems. Not that I'm going to do that today, don't worry. But that they are maybe elevated, put on a pedestal because they're the preachers. They're the pastors. They're the evangelists. And they know the Word of God. They preach the Word of God. So surely they've got to be one or two steps in front of us. The thing that I am struggling with, some might say, the pastors never, never struggled with that. What really am I talking about? I've talked to enough Christians and interacted with enough believers in the last several years to know that a lot of people have been very discouraged, very confused. Now, I'm not saying that they've been unfaithful or that they've even acted in unbelief. That's not what I'm saying. You would ask them, well, do you still believe God can and is able? And they would say a resounding, yes, absolutely. I've seen the Lord do it before. I know he can do it again. But there's that conjunction that comes in, right? But I'm challenged in my faith. Now, I don't know if that's anyone here this morning. I pray not, actually. But I've spoken, like I said, with enough Christians who have been honest. Pastor, isn't that nice when people are just telling the truth? That have been honest and have said, Brother Josh, a lot's happened these last 2 years, 3 years. I've lost loved ones. I've had financial difficulties. I've had sickness. I've had difficulties that have been unprecedented, unparalleled. And I find myself right now at a place where I'm greatly discouraged. I don't quite understand what I'm going to do, what I'm supposed to do, what even the Lord is doing. I don't understand it. I don't know what to do. So many turn on the news and then they want to turn it right back off because it's never any good news anymore at all. Every channel that you turn on, if it's Fox News or conservative media, I guess that's my right. This is your right. So Fox News, conservative media, those that are on the right, you know, they're saying one thing. And then the left comes on and they're saying another. Now, when Donald Trump was in office, and I won't get too political. If you watch Insight, you know, we don't get political. But when Donald Trump was in office, those on Fox News and on Breitbart and all the right news media, everything was great. Then all of a sudden, the world is falling apart. Well, what changed? Well, the Republicans lost their majority in Congress, and Donald Trump's no longer in the White House. So all of a sudden, the world is falling apart. Now, while they were saying it was all fine and dandy, the left was over here saying, oh, the world's falling apart. And now it's just totally flipped. Have you noticed that? All of a sudden, everything was okay according to the left, and yet everything was a problem according to the right. And now that midterms are coming up, which thank you for mentioning the election on Tuesday, ladies and gentlemen, go out and vote, and before you cast that ballot, say a prayer in the name of Jesus that your vote will count, that it will be counted correctly and fairly, and that the outcome of this election will be that which is pleasing in the sight of God. Amen? Let's do that. Let's believe God. We pray about everything. Why don't we pray about our voting? Amen? We're to give all things and take all things to the Lord and believe Him. So let's not exclude voting. All right. Now, for those of you that are too young to vote, just pray for your parents when they go vote. Deal? All right. Good deal. But notice how the narrative completely has changed. Everything's going to be a mess now, and it's going to be an absolute disaster depending on who wins or doesn't win in this election. It's all predicated on what happens Tuesday. Huh. The Christian is not to be swayed right, left, up, down, any which way because of what the news media, the narrative, or Washington has to say. We're not to be swayed by that. Amen. Come on now. But how many have grown so discouraged when the outcome of the election was announced, the last election that we had for the president? And all of the questions surrounding that, and there are many questions, I know. But the outcome of that, how many Christians all of a sudden the next day, virtually the next day, you see them and they were like this. What happened? Donald Trump didn't win. All right. But the Lord is still on the throne, as we said before. God is not. He's not been voted off the throne. Amen? As much as Satan has tried, he's failed every single time. Hallelujah. Christians are not to be swayed by the outcome of any election or anything that's going on. Now, swayed, what do you mean by that? Our faith, our trust, our hope, our confidence, it's not in those things. It's not in man. My hope, my trust, my faith, my salvation, my eternity, my everything is in the man, the Lord Christ Jesus. And He will keep me the rest of the way, and He'll keep you as well. But through this time, there's been a lot of discouragement. Those that have been praying for loved ones, I've heard this. They've said, it seems like the more that I pray and the more that I seek God for them, the further away from God they seem to go. It seems like the more that we seek God, the more we trust God, the more that things seem to happen that just doesn't make any sense. You know, the children of Israel would have said the same identical thing when they were in Egypt. And Moses and Aaron came and said to Pharaoh, let my people go. Thus saith the Lord, let my people go. And the work got harder. But here's what they didn't realize. They didn't see it. They couldn't see it. They were in bondage, and now the workload of bondage got harder. Pharaoh got even meaner. He gritted even harder and said, you won't even have the straw now to make the bricks, but you've got to make the same load. And if you don't make the same load of bricks, we're going to beat you until you bleed. I thought the word of the Lord came forth, let my people go. This is the exact opposite of what the Lord's word said. Now, you know they thought that. But finally, there came a day. The Lord said, apply the blood to the doorpost of the house and get in the house. Because when the death angel passes through, the firstborn is going to die. And after that came deliverance. It was right on the horizon, but the people of God, no doubt, very discouraged, very downtrodden, exhausted from the work, discouraged because they did not see anything of what the Lord's word had said seemingly coming to pass. And it's possible that the faith of some grew very weak. All they'd known was bondage. All they'd known was slavery. And that word came, get in the house where there's the blood on the doorpost. And that is still the answer today for God's people. Get in the house where the blood is applied to the doorpost. When there are times of difficulty, when there are times of discouragement, you've got to run to the rock. You've got to go back to the place that your love was founded, which is the cross. Now, all of you know what I'm saying, but are you doing it? Are we doing it? I'm concerned that many of us, when difficult times come, we run to what is common sense. We try to figure things out and reason things out. We'll listen to all the pundits on television. We'll see all the things on social media for those that are on social media. If you're not, you're blessed. We'll listen to what family and friends say. We'll even listen to the voices of some preachers that are not so encouraging at times. Or maybe they're too encouraging at times. The Christian is not to be swayed and moved by circumstances, but we are to stand firm on the foundation of Christ and Him crucified, knowing that our salvation is sure in Him, that we are going to make it no matter what comes our way. So I'm not just up here preaching to you. I am preaching to myself. Because over the last several years, I have found myself in periods of time where I look and I say, Lord, I do not understand this. Lord, I'm believing you for a harvest of souls like never before. And I know there are many that right now, this moment, if they could just hear the gospel, they would give their hearts to Christ. But they're not hearing the gospel. They're hearing other stuff, but they're not hearing the gospel. Lord, we're believing you for a great harvest all over this world, all over America. We're believing you, Lord, for a revival to come to touch the hearts, for your spirit to move. And thank God for the mercy drops around us that are falling, but we want the showers. We want the presence of God to move like never before. That's my heart. That's my desire. Pastor, I know it is for you as well, and I believe it is for you that are here. We're seeing God move, yes. He's always moving and working. We want to see the sick bodies that are healed, where those testimonies come forth. I believe God can do it. Those loved ones that are so far from God, it seems like they'll never come home. But we're going to see them come back to the Lord, or come to the Lord and make it right with Him. God is able to do it. That's what I'm believing Him for. That's what I'm trusting Him for. But as we're trusting God for that, it seems like the opposition is great. That the enemy is coming in a means and a capacity that's greater than ever before. It's like you look out there in the world and you see the powers of darkness and the forces of hell that are just moving at a rate that like never before. And the Christian knows that, they understand that, but the question comes up, why? Lord, why is this being allowed to happen? If the election was, quote unquote, stolen, why, Lord, did you let that happen? Lord, if you're able to heal, why isn't it happening more? Why aren't we seeing it at a greater capacity? Lord, thank you for what you're doing, but why isn't it greater? Is it wrong to ask why? Is it wrong to ask the Lord why? Now, that's a tough question. I'll answer it this way. I'm a parent. I've got two boys. When I tell my children to do something and they ask me why, but it's why because they don't want to do it and they think they know better, that's the why that I have problems with. But if something's going on and they don't understand it, and I come and start to explain it to them, and they say, well, why? I don't understand. And they want more understanding. I have no problem with that. Because as a father, I'm able to then open up to them and use it as an opportunity to teach them. If we question God and say, Lord, why? And it's a why that is a rebellious why. Lord, why? That's wrong. But if we're in a place where it's, Lord, I don't understand, and I've exhausted all my resources, and I need an answer from you, Lord, I need a touch. He's not going to turn you away. He will work with you. He will show you. He will teach you. And in those moments, in those times, one of the greatest things can happen, and that's that we will have the opportunity to learn more of Him. Learn more of the character of God. Learn more about Him. And He will use circumstances, ladies and gentlemen. He will use situations to allow you to see His power and His might. As you seek His face, you will see His hand begin to move and to work in your heart and in your life. Lord, why? It's where a lot of people have been the last 2 to 3 years. And even now, Lord, why? I don't understand it. I don't doubt you. I just don't understand it. But I believe soon and very soon, all of these questions, all of these things that we're talking about that are very real, everything is going to change. Because soon and very soon, He's coming back. He's coming back for His church. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we, which are alive and remain, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And you should be comforted with those words. Hallelujah! Glory to God. He is coming back. He's coming back. Glory to God. This verse of Scripture from Proverbs, the great book of wisdom. Wisdom, they say the wisdom of Solomon, but really it's the wisdom of God that was given to Solomon. So when we read this, we're reading the wisdom of God. If you've got those questions, your answer is right here. You've got to open the book, and you've got to read it, and you've got to believe it. But every answer that you need is found in the Word of Almighty God. And a lot of times the answer that we receive, God in His wisdom, He won't give us always the explanation or the answer that we want in the timing that we want it. But He will give us exactly what we need. In a time of questioning, a time of discouragement, this Scripture, be it just one verse, made all the difference for me. Because it says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe. Glory to God. There is so much meaning in just this one verse of Scripture. There is so much depth in just one word from God. The idea here is this, if you'll picture it in your mind, that there is a battle that's taking place. There is an enemy that is coming against you. The forces of this enemy, of this one, this adversary, is greater than you. The circumstance is greater than you. You don't have the capacity to fight anymore. You and your compatriots no longer can fight this battle. And so you turn. And you go away from the enemy instead of running towards the enemy, which would be certain death and destruction. You, as a means to find saving, salvation from the enemy, you run in another direction. And that's the idea of this verse. It's showing one, perhaps a soldier in battle, that is to the point where their resources are completely extended. There's nothing left. They have no other means to fight. They have no other means. There's nowhere else to turn. But as in days of old in battle, there would be a location where usually it was a flag or a banner of sorts would be lifted up, and that would be the sign, the standard, that those who were of a certain troop, of a certain fighting force, they would know if they run to where that sign, that flag, that ensign is lifted, that is the point of safety. That is where the fortitude is. That is where they need to go. That's where the fortress is at. And so if the battle turns and it looks like you're about to be destroyed, you look and find that ensign. You look and find that banner, and you run to it with all of your might, with all of your strength, with all of your power. And if you'll picture it, a city that's under siege and the people are running. If you're running for your life, do you stop and pick flowers on the side of the road? No. If you saw diamonds and money and gold and silver over here, but the enemy was right behind you, would you even think to stop and try to collect and pick all of that up? No. What would you do? You'd keep running to that sign, to that place of safety. Ladies and gentlemen, that's where we are right now. We are running to the cross. Our lives should be spent running in the direction of Calvary. Not distracted by anything else, because if we strive for anything other than the cross, the enemy will overtake you. He will overtake you. The grief will become greater. The discouragement will become greater. Satan is stronger than your willpower. That addiction, that bondage will become greater. That sickness is greater than what you can handle. That circumstance is bigger than you are. But you don't have to face it on your own. Because if you will run to the cross, if you will run to God, if you will run to Christ, and run with all of your might, don't get distracted by the things of this world, because they will overtake you. But if you will run to the rock, you will be safe in his arms. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 When the scripture says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. When you read the name of the Lord and in the Hebrew text, it bears this out, that it's not just talking about a name that identifies, for example, Josh Rosenstern. It's not just talking about that, but it's talking about every single characteristic and every single attribute of God. When you read the name of the Lord, you are reading literally and should think every aspect of God's character, of his power, of his might is wrapped up in that word, the name of the Lord. And what that means is this: whatever you need, he is the answer. He doesn't just have the answer. He is the answer. If you need healing, he is healing. If you need salvation, he is salvation. If you need strength and joy, he is your strength and your joy. Whatever that you need, he is. He said, I am that I am. Glory to God. When you read the name of the Lord, he is all that you need, no matter what the circumstance is. Glory to God. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The name of the Lord. I looked up just a few of the names, and I'm blessed every time that I read them. El Shaddai is the Lord God Almighty. El Elyon, the Lord God Most High. Adonai is our Lord and our Master. Yahweh, Lord Jehovah, our covenant God. Jehovah Nissi is the Lord is my banner, going back to what I said before. Jehovah Raha is the Lord my shepherd. Jehovah Rapha is the Lord who heals. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. He's right where you are. He's not over here, over there. He's right there where you are in your circumstance and in your situation. I'm going to pause. pause and say this. One of the biggest lies that that old devil can tell us, and shame on us if we believe it, but one of the biggest lies that he will tell you and tell me is that God doesn't care about you. That the Lord is not interested or concerned with you. He's too busy looking at Jimmy Swaggart, just to throw a name. He's too busy worrying about Lauren Larson or somebody that you see over here doing all of this. And therefore, the Lord is not as concerned with you. Huh, what are you doing for God? Oh, come on now. That's what the voice of the enemy will say. What are you doing for God that he would be that concerned about you? Huh. You can't even get your act together. Look at all the look at what a mess you've made of things. You know better. You've heard the message of the cross, but your life's a mess. Look at you. Whenever you hear the lie of the enemy, how do you identify it? How do you identify the lie of the enemy? It will always go contrary to the Word of God. The Word of God says the Lord loves you, He cares for you, He has even the hairs on your head numbered. And I'm not going to make a joke about that, don't worry. I better not, or else, anyways. The Word of God tells us He loves us. He cares for us. He loves you and He cares for you. That He's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. He'll never leave you and never forsake you. That's what His Word tells us. So if you hear that still small voice that's not the voice of God, that's the voice of the enemy, telling you something contrary to what you know is the Word of God, that's Satan, or that's yourself coming up with some foolishness. What do? You rebuke those thoughts in the name of Jesus, and you start and go back to the Word of God, and let this be your foundation, and let this be what directs and drives your life. The Lord is there. Wherever that you are, He is there. In the midst of your fiery furnace, He's there. In the midst of that sickness and that turmoil, He is there with you. Glory to God. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord is our righteousness. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. And the list goes on. When we hear the name of the Lord is a strong tower. These are, again, not just merely characteristics and adjectives and descriptions. These are literally the principles, the very character of God. Glory to God. That is your strong tower. That is your fortress. And the scripture goes on to say that that name of the Lord that is our strong tower, the righteous run into it and is safe. Now that word, safe, in the context of the scripture, it doesn't just mean safe from the opposing forces. It doesn't just mean it's a strong, impenetrable wall. Now, it does have that connotation, but there's more to it than that. The word safe here really means to be set up on high, to be lifted up and set up on high. Hallelujah. When you are in the absolute depths of discouragement and of despair, when you are facing a circumstance that has you in the lowest valley of your life, when you are so discouraged and downtrodden, it is in that moment, ladies and gentlemen, when you run to that strong and mighty tower, that He will make you safe. He will lift you up above your burdens, above your cares. He will lift you up above the shadows and plant your feet on higher ground. He will lift you up above where your discouragement is, that low valley, and He will set you up on the mountaintop. You're too weary to climb. You're too weary to do it on your own. He will step in and lift you up. and set you at a place where you will see him work in your heart and in your life. And as the scripture says, that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, will lift up a standard against him. Isaiah writes that. That when the enemy comes in, when the forces of hell, when the forces of everything the devil's got come at you like a flood, the Lord will lift you up and set you at a place where those floods will not destroy you. You will not be drowned by the grief and the despair and the discouragement and the destruction that Satan has intended for you, but the Lord will lift you up and put you to a place where you will not be destroyed. You will not be destroyed. You're going through. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I told you I was just going to be real with you this morning. This is where the body of Christ needs to be encouraged. We don't need self-help messages. There's nothing there to help. All this self-improvement stuff that you hear out there, there's nothing to improve. I've got the answer for self-help. You want it? Here it is. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. It's not me. It's Christ who lives in me, the Spirit of God that gives me life. The best place for you to be is dead and buried, but alive in Christ Jesus. There's all the self-help that you need. You need to be dead and buried, spiritually speaking. Amen? Amen. But that's not popular, but it's the truth. But this is where the body of Christ really must be encouraged, because sometimes we face a lot. Life throws, it seems, everything at us in every different direction. And some think that they should button their coat or whatever you do with a blouse and stand up straight and just try to grit through it. And you're trying to do that, but you're finding yourself worn out, discouraged, downtrodden. And it's even getting to the place now where some of you have just said, well, it is what it is. I'm just going to keep trudging along. I'm going to keep doing what's expected of me. I'll read my Bible and I'll pray and I'll thank God, but I don't have the fight to believe him, the faith to believe him like I used to. And I'm growing a little discouraged. The word of the Lord this morning is, you're to run to him. He is that strong tower. He is the mighty fortress. Don't do what the world does. The man who looks to his kingdom, his city, is built from the treasures. It's not just talking about money. That's talking about all the things that this world has to offer. Don't try to find your confidence in your ability to make money, in your job, in your family. There's nothing out there that is sure and a sure foundation, but it's Christ alone. Christ alone. The name of the Lord is that strong tower. The righteous run to it, and they're saved. Set up on high, protected from every weapon that the devil would form against you. And here's the thing. We know this, that the devil does form weapons against us. They will not prosper, but he will form weapons. You're going to see him building weapons against you, but you can know in the name of Jesus that they will not prosper. That means it's not going to work. He's told you, I'm going to destroy you and your family, and it hasn't happened yet, because he that's within you is greater than he that is within this world, talking about Jesus Christ, greater than the powers of the enemy. Glory to God. Psalm 61. Verse 1 says this, and I'll read 4 verses. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Now listen. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in the tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Glory to God. Psalm 91, verse 1 says this, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say unto the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise and pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall you trust. His truth will be your shield and buckler. You should not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh to you. Only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the word of God. Glory to God. You're going to make it in the name of Jesus if you will run to that strong and mighty tower that is the Lord, the name of the Lord. You are going to make it. Glory to God. That which this world builds is going to all crumble and fall to pieces one day. But that which the Lord builds is everlasting. It is everlasting. When Jesus was here physically on this earth, during his time, the time of the incarnation, everyone knew about Jesus. He was a household name. His miracles were spoken of all over Judea, all over Israel of that day. His wisdom, his knowledge, his understanding of the word was known. He was known. But you don't read anywhere in Scripture, or in history for that matter, that the great Caesar of Rome called for Jesus. You don't read anywhere in the Scriptures or in history that any other leadership, any other kings, any other monarchs called and requested that Jesus come and be in their midst, nor did they come to see him. While men were busy at that time building their kingdoms, building their empires, conquesting lands, Jesus was nowhere fit into that, not even in Israel. There was no place, there was no peace that he would fill in the conquest in the kingdom of men. There was no interest. It's no different today. We who have accepted him have experienced his grace, his power, his might. We look out there and we say, how can the world not be interested in this? How is it that they are so busy with their own workings and dealings that they don't have any thought toward the Bible, to the Word of God? Why? Same today as it was then. They did not believe him to be Messiah. They did not believe that he was the Son of God. If they had believed it, if they had believed him, their response would have been a whole lot different. Don't you agree? It's the same today. Those in Washington, those in local leadership, the very last place they'll go oftentimes, if at all, is to the Bible. Yet this is the very first place that if they would go, they would receive the wisdom and the direction for what to do and how to do it. But the bane of this world, and now even of the church, of those that call themselves Christians, is there's very little interest in Jesus Christ and him crucified. Very little. Lots of interest in the social things. Lots of interest in the good works and the good deeds. Lots of interest in social justice. Lots of interest in self-help, psychology. but very little interest in the very place that is our fortress, that is our security, that is our strong tower, and that is the name of the Lord. As I bring this to a close, I actually did not intend to be up here very long today because I want us to take some time at the end of this service to put aside all of our ceremony, all of our typical, this is how we do it. The Lord's not interested in that. Now, don't misunderstand, we're to have order and service, but what I mean is all of our preconditions and our preconceptions and our notions, we need to put that aside, ladies and gentlemen. That doesn't impress the Lord at all. He's looking for faith. He's looking for children of his children, children of God that will believe him, that will trust him. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, when we see those flood waters on the plain, on the horizon, when we see the enemy building those weapons that are meant to destroy us, that we would not try to stop them and to work in our own flesh and figure it out on our own. It never works. It only makes things worse. But that we would truly surrender, not surrender to the enemy, but surrender to him. Because when you run to that fortress, to that strong and mighty tower, to that emblem, to that ensign that's lifted high, which is the cross, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Glory to God. He wants us to run to him with everything, for everything. Nothing's too great and nothing is too small, but that you will come to him. The name of the Lord is that strong tower. The righteous, those who have been washed and cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, run to it. And we are saved. Glory to God. We are set up. We are established and lifted up. And his presence will fill your soul. And whatever the difficulty is, you'll have a peace in the midst of the storm. A peace in the midst of it all. He loves you, ladies and gentlemen. He paid a terrible price at Calvary so that you can be saved. And so that that strong tower can be made available. And we enter in by faith in the name of Jesus, that our faith would be exclusively there in that which is our strong tower, the finished work of Christ, which opens up to us everything. Every promise in this book is mine because of what Jesus did at Calvary. Everything that God has, it's mine, it's yours, because of what Jesus did at Calvary. Everything. Do you believe that this morning? Bow your heads, please. Heavenly Father, we love you today. Lord, I thank you that you've not left us. You will not leave us. You will never leave us. You will never forsake us. And you're asking us today, Lord, to trust you in a way that we've not trusted you before, that we would have ever-increasing faith, that the tent pegs of faith would be stretched in a way that only you can do. Lord, I'm asking now as we take this moment that you would deal with the hearts of your people, that you would touch them, Lord, that every need in their heart would be met today. But if there is anything there that is holding them back, that is holding them back from entering into this rest, from running into this strong and mighty tower that is your name, that thing would be removed, that they would give it to you. We pray for every need right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I'm asking that you would heal that sick body, that you would save that unsaved loved one, that you would give them an opportunity to hear the gospel, that they would say yes to Christ. For those that are discouraged this morning, Lord, they're overwhelmed by the circumstances. They don't see how they're going to make it. It might be a financial issue, a domestic issue, a physical issue. I don't know, Lord, but you do. And so I'm asking that you would touch that one, that you would show them the clear path to Calvary, and that they would run with all their might, not stopping by the wayside to pick up anything that this world has to offer or that the church has to offer, but they would run only to you and to you alone. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. We seek you, Lord, and we love you. And we thank you that you brought us thus far, and we know that you're going to lead us home. In Jesus' mighty name, we ask it and say it. If everyone would stand, please, and I don't know if you've got a song ready or queued up. I kind of like what you had earlier. I speak the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I want us to take just a few moments. We're not going to belabor it. We're not going to extend it. We're going to give the Lord his time, though. And I want us to close our eyes. I want us to lift our hands to heaven. And whatever that it is, as they play the song whenever they're ready to, I want you to give it to him. Run to that strong and mighty tower and let him be your fortress in this time of difficulty. If you're ready, you could play the song.